title of the message today is Esau, Man of Flesh. Many treat Esau as a character in a children's Bible story. And that's okay. When you're little, you memorize the Bible stories, and that's good, and you do it for a star on your chart, and that's good. You need to do that. You know the stories. As we get a little older, though, we need to move from the realm of it just being a biblical character in a story to applying what went on in his life and how can I be closer to God as a result of knowing about Esau. And I don't want to fail to apply the lessons of Esau to my own Christian walk. You're going to find out in this that God's going to bless Isaac greatly, and that these two boys, Jacob and Esau, are going to grow up in a home that is blessed almost to the point you're going to say they get a little spoiled. And they're loved tremendously, but you're going to see the focus is not so much on what God is doing, but it's about what they are doing. And this focus on the material world instead of the spiritual as much reminded me so much of the day we live in today. It reminded me of how sometimes our decisions are based on what we see and not what He wants. And this actually convicted me, and I would ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25. Don't let your familiarity with the story rob you of seeing what God has in it for you. Genesis 25. And I'm going to start reading verse 21. And Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the other older shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment, and they named him Esau. And afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when he gave birth to them. When the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please, let me have a swallow of that red stuff there. For that's actually what the New American Standard says. For I am famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am about to die. So what use then is this birthright to me? And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let's pray. Father, I ask for your direction, and Lord, I ask for you to speak to us. Help us, Lord, to see what happened in the life of Esau and the things that he did, some right, some wrong. But Lord, nonetheless, help us to see how we can be better from learning from his experience. In Jesus' name, amen. The message today is directed mostly to Christians, as you see. My first point is bartering for a birthright. Now, the birthright itself, it's defined as a double portion would be given to this person in the inheritance that had the birthright. And it was usually the firstborn. They would get a double portion, and they would become the tribal leader. Now, the interesting thing about becoming the tribal leader is you would actually be the one through whom the Messiah, that is Jesus, would come through. And by the way, that was a promise and that was intended way before this. So you see a fulfillment of prophecy here. Now understand that this birthright situation. What did God tell the mother when she was carrying him? The older will serve the younger. You're going to see secondly in this birthright situation, a menagerie of misplaced priorities is really what it is. You see, the dad loved the oldest one, and it said here in the scripture, because he had a taste for gain. Now, I don't know how it'd be if you told one of your children, said, you know what, you're my favorite, I love you. And they would feel real good about you saying that to them. I'm the favorite. Mom loves me, or Dad loves me. And Dad says, yeah, I really love you because you helped me mow the yard. Now, they would think, wow, I guess if I didn't mow the yard, I'd be down on the bottom of the list. See, Isaac loved him best because he had a taste for game. And he was a skillful hunter. It's what he brought. And the mom loved Jacob the best because, and when he says he is a peaceful man, he liked to dwell in the tents. This would be the kid that stayed inside all the time and played video games, but he was always there helping mom cook, probably measuring out the stuff when she was baking and things. And he probably would have been called a mama's boy in our society today. There's nothing wrong with loving your mom. There's nothing wrong with helping her bake. But that was what he was known for. He stayed with her. He was probably by her side 24/7. And Esau probably was the one that sat with Dad. He would bring in the meat. They would fix it, cook it. And then he probably would sit there and talk with his dad as they enjoyed the venison or whatever he had brought in. But the priorities in there, you kind of see where they're coming from. And you don't see a lot about, she went to the Lord and inquired when she was carrying the boys. And, you know, you're carrying these and they're fighting inside the womb. I can imagine she's like, what's going on? She was perplexed and she went to God. But after she heard this and after the delivery, and the boys are growing up and they have the boys, it's like the focus. You don't see them inquiring as much. You don't see them seeking God out and staying on the plan that Abraham has started. And you see their priorities have kind of changed a little bit. You see, Esau grew up in that environment where it was like everybody was out for their own agenda. And Esau's agenda, when he ran in from hunting and he smelled this wonderful stew cooking. Now, a lot of you will say, lentils, that don't even make me want to eat. Think of something, your favorite stew that's cooking, and you've been out camping and you're hungry and you come in and you smell it and you see it and you're thinking, I got to have some of that. And I am shaking, I'm so hungry. Now, Esau was probably a big consumer. He was probably a big guy. And big guys like to eat. And big guys got to take more food than a smaller person, right? See, we understand that. I will tell you this. I don't think Esau was at a point of dropping dead. I don't think he was at a point. He probably wasn't even at a point where he was about to pass out. He may have been a little shaky and a little weak, but it was desperate in his mind. because his body was saying, oh, this is horrible, it's desperate. Have you ever been there? Do you understand what I'm talking about with that? Now, when I said misplaced priorities, and then you got Esau thinking only of his growling stomach, he comes in and sees this red stew. As a matter of fact, I used to think, well, Esau was born hairy and he was born red, so that's why they called the descendants of Esau Edomites. The word Edom and the word Edomite is more remembrance to the stew. That's what the Bible said right here. It goes back to the stew. That's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? That your legacy for your descendants is because you were so hungry you had to have that red stew. And I imagine Esau made a big deal over that. That was all he could talk about, all he could think about. Well, of course, Jacob, Mr. Supplanter, is ready to comply and wants to bargain. And they're bartering over this birthright thing. And you say, well, Brett, isn't that what God just said? That the older will serve the younger? The younger has to be the tribal leader? Isn't this God's will? This doesn't excuse Jacob's actions. Jacob was doing wrong, and Esau was doing wrong. And you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right, but God worked His will anyway, despite those two guys. If they had been praying to God and been in touch with God and let God work it out, God would have worked it out in a wonderful way, because you're going to see the consequences of this. Both of those boys were focused on the immediate need. Jacob wasn't after, oh, I want to be the tribal leader and I want to be the one God uses. He was probably only thinking about the double portion of inheritance. He was probably thinking about the money. And by the way, you're going to find out at this point, they have some means, but you know what? God's fixing to bless Isaac even greater, in a greater way. And the years ahead, God is going to just multiply and multiply what He has, to a point where Abimelech says, Isaac, you got too much stuff. You're too powerful. You need to get away from us. Leave the city. You're too strong. You're too powerful. He don't go. He just goes off to the valley, which is not too far away from them. But he has to move out. And he digs new wells, because he has to have a place to take care of what God has blessed him with. You see, these two boys are fighting over things, material things, and they forget the God they serve. They forget the parents that love both of them. And they forget having each other. So instead of standing together, they're competing with each other. I got to get more than you. And pretty soon, they're fighting over something they don't even yet have. Isn't that misplaced priorities? Bartering for your birthright? Doesn't that remind us that we need to be careful as we live in this dog-eat-dog world, instead of scratching and clawing for everything we can get and canning everything we get and then going for more? We need to look at what happened to these boys, because if you will, there was a bitterness that developed. Look at verse 34. After he swore to him that he would sell his birthright, then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. That's not the end of the story. The next sentence. Thus, Esau despised his birthright. Isn't that like it? You have something wonderful. You don't appreciate it. You lose it. And then you're bitter toward it. You despise it. See, Esau despised his birthright. He was bitter toward that object, that thing he had lost. And by the way, he blamed his brother. Jacob was wrong. But by the way, God did not leave this chapter. He didn't leave this instance by saying, you know, Jacob really did wrong in this. In God's Scripture, the verse focuses on Esau, not Jacob. It focuses on the damage because Esau had to despise his birthright. He played it down and he didn't even realize what he had lost. I don't think he appreciated fully the effect of being the ancestor to the Messiah. Being the ancestor of Jesus. I think all he was thinking about was the money in his belly. But he hated losing it to his brother. And he despised his brother. And now it affected that relationship. And he's not going to be happy with his brother. Well, as we go forward with the two boys growing up, there's like 27 years later, if you go with me to chapter 26, let's read verse 34. 26:34. I'm going to skip some of this. And Esau was 40 years old when he married Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Now it came about when Isaac was old, and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau and said to him, "My son." He said to him, "Here am I." And Isaac said, "Behold, now I'm old and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out in the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, and that my soul may bless you before I die." And Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring some game, prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock, bring me a choice kid from there that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, bless you before his death." And Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, my brother is a hairy man and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will fail me when I shall be a deceiver in his sight. I shall bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." And of course, you know the story. They took the skin, put it around his arms. And when the father felt that, that always kind of made me stop and think. Esau must have really been a hairy guy for that fur from the goats or from the animal to actually make the dad think, "Oh yeah, that's him." Of course, he did smell, and he smelled the outdoors and smelled the smell of the outdoors on him, and that helped him understand. Let's backtrack and then we'll go back forward again. Verse 34 in chapter 26 said Esau had married these Hittite women. And it said here they brought grief to Isaac and Rebekah. The two boys were everything to them. These parents wanted them to marry back people from where they came from. To marry the Hittite women was Esau telling his parents, "I'm not interested in what you want, what your God wants. It's about what I want." And Esau had taken his own desires. Now remember, what's the most important thing in Esau's life? His desires. His belly needs something in it? Sell your birthright. "I like those girls over there. I'm going to marry them. I'm going to marry two of them, not just one." And you see, it grieved the parents. They knew Esau was off the reservation and he was doing what he wanted. And it created heartbreak for him. Esau wasn't interested in doing the right thing. He was interested in doing what he wanted. And that tells you a lot about Esau, and that tells you a lot about ourselves. You see, that's our temptation. That's what we sometimes do. Well, now after time passes, and now the 27 years goes on, what's interesting about that, Isaac now is about 137 years old. And his brother Ishmael had just previously died. And guess how old was he when he died? 137. It's interesting, Isaac, when he got away from God, was focused on himself. And Isaac, for some reason, instead of inquiring of the Lord, he just panicked. I'm old and I'm ready to die. By the way, Isaac lives another 43 years. Now, if I had you all get around me and I told you I was fixing to die and I lived 43 more years, somebody would be mad at me. You mean we said all those nice things to you and you're still around? That's what would happen. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, 43 years more? Isaac just panicked and assumed that he was going to die at the same age of Ishmael. And because he did this, and by the way, don't be so hard on him, because this is what you do when you don't inquire of the Lord. Your mind runs wild and you come up with some bizarre conclusions. Have you ever done something and everybody, your friends or your godly friends, look at you and like, really? You did that? I've done it. And my friends are like, Brett, you did what? And usually what I tell them is, oh, shut up, I know. Because I did not pray about it. I did not inquire of the Lord. And when you're left to your own devices, you can make some really bad decisions. Isaac here panics. I'm going to die. Y'all all get around. It's one based on God's leading. This one based on God telling him anything. It was based on his own emotion. And when you run on emotion, by the way, you can do some really dumb things. The blessing itself, it's a father blessing one of the children. For God to just pour out prosperity on him. And it's also, of course, every dad wants all the children to have that prosperity and be blessed. But this is a special blessing from God. And by the way, it's also, this blessing reiterates the birthright. Notice the birthright, they kind of just all push that back to the side. We don't bring that up at the dinner table, y'all. Don't ever mention birthright at the dinner table. There'll be a big fight. See, they just kind of quit talking about that. Now it's all about the next thing. Well, what's the next thing? It's the blessing. And by the way, the blessings, not only blessings from God that the dad will pour out on him, but it's also kind of an honor that the family, and God's going to cause all nations to look to you and bless you. So it is a repetition of the birthright. I don't understand how Esau figured, well, I lost the birthright, well, I'll get the blessing. Isn't that the way it is? He lost one thing, so now all his hope's in the next thing. We got to be real careful about that, because that's a mistake Esau made. Nobody was inquiring of the Lord. You notice that? Okay, Lord, who should get the blessing? Isaac made his mind up who he wanted to have it. Rebecca had made her mind up who she wanted to have it. And by the way, we're not going to ask God to make it happen how he wants it. We're just going to scheme and manipulate and lie, cheat, and steal, and we're going to force it to happen. And isn't that what occurred? And by the way, without reading the whole story, and you know it, you know the end of the story. The years of heartache. I used to think, man, Jacob was such a scoundrel. He paid dearly for this. The years and years when he went to choose a wife and he was dealing with Laban, his uncle raked him over the coal for years. Stole from him, cheated him, tricked him. Yeah, what goes around comes around. What went around came around. And Jacob suffered dearly. And you know what? When he had to flee for his life, he would not see his mother again alive. As close as he was to her, he did get to see his dad, but he didn't get to see his mother. You see, in her scheming, she paid dearly too. Because now, she's not going to get to see that boy that was with her by her side 24/7. She'll go to her grave missing him. You see, this point is titled Blowing Your Blessing. Esau blew his blessing, but they all blew it in a way. They were all guilty. And their passion, the passion of Esau, this kind of gets to me. Look at verse 34. Well, let's back up to 27. I want to read the blessing itself. So he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Man, I'd like to read that in front of the United Nations. That's another message. We'll get to that. You know exactly what I'm talking about, though. Let's go to verse 33. When Esau came in with the venison, and they figured out that they'd already blessed the wrong one, it says in verse, I want to read verse 33. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and is taking away your blessing." You see Esau's passion. You know, I feel sorry for him right here in a way. But you know what? Esau didn't have a passion for the things of God. He had a passion for himself. Stop and think. There's not a passionate, bitter cry and heartbreak over his brother stabbing him in the back. I don't even know at this point. I wonder if he figured his mother was in on it or not. He may have felt betrayed. But you know what? His outcry, his bitterness, his weeping was over the loss of the blessing. I still think Esau's focus was on himself and it's on the material world and it's this world. That convicted me and made us stop and think, you know what? People are like this today. We get upset if we lose a $20 bill. Do we get that upset if we forget to pray or have our devotions? Think about it. Our focus has become on material things. We need to make sure that our focus is on the things of God. And our passion should not be over self, but over God's will. The day that we're more upset over being out of God's will than we are over missing out on something for ourselves is the day we've arrived at a point that God can show us wonderful things. By the way, didn't he have to do something with Jacob to get him at that point? He wrestled with him all night long. Jacob walked with a limp for the rest of his life and had his name changed to remind him that he had to be changed from this point. Remember, we're talking about a Jacob that's different at this point. Dog eat dog, get all I can, by hook or crook. And that's the way a lot of people in this world live their lives. By the way, Isaac, he shook violently. I don't know how he felt, because I know he's had to feel betrayed. He did give the blessing. He loved Jacob, but yet he knew the blessing that was given was stolen, not freely given. And I know that had to hurt him. Look at verse 39. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, now this is Esau he's talking to, behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, away from the dew of heaven from above, and by your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. And it shall come about, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. Look at verse 41. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. You see, there's a prophecy here of a promised overthrow in verses 39 through 40. Isaac said, basically, Esau, your descendants are going to be desert dwellers. They're going to be out in the desert, away from the dew, away from the fertile ground. You'll be nomadic. By the way, you're going to be warriors. You'll live by the sword. Now, of course, later we know when he ran into Esau, Esau hugged him and kissed him, but and they were a mighty people. They were blessed. It does say they will be servants. The Edomites, Esau's descendants, will be servants. But the day did come and they broke against Israel. And they became persecutors of the Israelites. By the way, the Edomites hated the Israelites. Killed their priests, did terrible things. In this contention, it says, because of the stolen blessing. Was it worth it? No. See, we got to realize God's in control. Let God work His will. Quit trying to mess it up. Sometimes we get in there and try to make it happen the way we think. And you know what? All we do is mess it up. The lesson I can learn from Esau is, it's not worth it. Oh yeah, Esau hugged him and kissed him and said, oh, I've forgiven, God's blessed. But you know what? The descendants never did. The descendants resented the Israelites because of this. Esau also walked away plotting evil. He said, when my dad is gone, out of respect for my dad, I'm not going to do nothing. But as soon as my dad's gone, days of mourning over, I'm going to kill him. And I mean, in the South, every sibling is threatened to kill each other. You know, we do that. I'm going to kill you. No, this is a real plot here. This isn't just an emotional threat. He said, he's planned it. You know what's interesting about that? When you plot evil and you plan to hurt someone, you know who it hurts? Especially, by the way, he lived 43 more years. That's a long time for this to set in Esau's pot and stew, isn't it? That's a long time to wait, isn't it? See? And I think God did that for a reason. Give time, Esau time to heal, but he carried that burden. When you carry a burden of bitterness, by the way, guess who it destroys more than the person you have the bitterness toward? It destroys you. Bitterness poisons the person that carries it. If you have anything in your heart, if you hate somebody, if you despise somebody, if you don't get along with somebody, it's going to hurt you. Esau lived the rest of his life, in verse 41, bearing a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing. See, you know what a grudge is? A grudge is murder that hadn't happened yet. Jesus says if you hate your brother, you're guilty of what? Murder. If you hate your brother, if you despise someone. By the way, how can we hate or despise someone if God loves them and we're a child of God? Stop and think about that for a minute. We're quick to tell people, oh, I love this person. I like that person. Oh, I can't stand them. Tell me, who has the right to make those kind of statements? I don't think any of us do. And I don't think God has a right to do it, but I don't think that's the way He operates. God loves everybody. And I think the lesson I learned from Esau is the material world is temporary. And to spend your entire life scratching and fighting for it is not worth it. The eternal, that's much more important. And the only way to stay focused on the internal is to inquire of the Lord all the time. Not just when you need Him for the immediate need. Not just when you're in a crisis. You got two nations warring inside your womb and you go to God in desperation. What's going on? Now, don't wait till there's no food on the table and you don't know where to turn before you inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord every day in your walk. And above all, if you make your life all about you, you're always going to be disappointed. You're always going to be frustrated. And you're always going to bury a grudge inside you because the other person doesn't have the problems you have. You can't live your life like that. Inquire of the Lord. Let's bow.